Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, before we get into today's podcast, just need to say we have a new game that we want to play with you during the Six Nations tournament. So we want you to come and join us at Match Pint. We have prizes. But really, this is just a way to, without the ability to go to a pub or join with your mates or go to a stadium, this is a way we can all get together and enjoy the Six Nations collectively by predicting the outcome of games and potentially winning yourself some disgusting Negronis. What else would you win? So this is with Match Pint. So you need to get the Match Pint app downloaded to your smartphone. It's in the app stores, right, JB?
It is in app stores.
Right, whatever app store you got, go search Match Pint, get that app downloaded. And then where'd you go, Phil, within the app?
Go to the Pint Predictor within the app. Then go to Leagues, hit Join, and type Egg Chasers.
Egg Chasers, there you go.
Add yourself to our league. We're going to be making our predictions. You make your predictions, and for doing so and being better than us and being right, you can feel smug and you can win yourself some disgusting Negronis weekly and the overall prize, JB.
Yes, the overall prize is, would you believe it, more Negroni. You get
bottles of the stuff.
You get three of the raw ingredients that you need to make as many disgusting Negronis in your own home as you could possibly ever need.
And the weekly prize for the best predictions will go to, will be a mail in the...
Literally, we'll post you a Negroni.
We will post you a Negroni.
Yeah. Now, you can either give us your address or the address of someone you want to inflict the Negroni on. Who would you inflict your Negroni on?
You.
All right, nice, thank you.
Just because I like you, JB.
Do you know who I'd inflict my Negroni on?
Who would you?
I would inflict my Negroni on...
I'd send one to Dimes. and I'd hope he took it in the right way. I'd send it to Paul Gustard because he's in Italy now.
Graham Rowntree.
Oh yes.
Friend of the pod, listener Graham Rowntree. Hello, Graham Rowntree. If JB wins the prediction league, Negroni is coming your way.
Exactly right. Always at Dublin or wherever he is.
I don't know if he trusts us with his address. Right, on with the pod and we'll get into our predictions. Match Pint app. Download it, sign up for the Egg Chasers League. We'll see you there. Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Back for a second podcast of the week, and more importantly, a Six Nations preview. It really is the rugbyest time of the year.
It is.
We should have that song of yours on hand to play
now. No, we shouldn't.
This is the time of year we play the most rugbyest time of the year, isn't
Didn't
it?
We play it recently on Christmas.
Yeah, but you know, you can't have too much of a good thing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, exactly.
I'll go and find it.
Yeah, so we'll get that up again. How you doing, Phil?
Hello, very well, thank you, Tim. Very lovely Monday. Very typical Monday.
Yeah, it's been a lovely day today, isn't it?
It has been a lovely day.
Lovely and crisp. Well, listen to this, Phil. Before you joined us, we were talking. Would you rather look like a modern day bodybuilder, a 50s bodybuilder, or a Ron Landry from the NFL?
Who's the last one?
Just look up LaRon, and as you're listening, do this as well. Just Google LaRon, L-A-R-O-N, Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y, and look at L-A-N-D-R-Y. Look at the arms on that fella.
I don't think I could pull off those tattoos, but besides that, God, he's in good shape, isn't he?
He's not bad. So, the point... I don't know how this came up. Why did we start talking about this?
I don't... Because
Screech died.
This is how we came up with it. So, Screech from Saved by the Bell, Dustin Diamond, has passed away, age 44, which is no age at all.
No.
Oh, my God.
I know. And we were talking about, we were having a laugh about how AC Slater in Saved by the Bell was like the ultimate alpha male. And you look at pictures of him and...
I'd take his dinner money.
Yeah.
All of it.
And then JB mentioned 50s bodybuilders versus today. And
down the rabbit hole we went.
We went and ended up looking at just ogling Laurent Landry's arms.
If there's anyone I'd go for, it'd probably be the Arnie physique. Arnie, when he was in his bodybuilding prime, when he was back to back to back to back to back, whatever it was, Mr. Universe.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I was saying to JB. Some of those slightly more old school bodybuilders look like they could actually functionally like sprint for a bus if they had to catch one, or play rugby.
Yes, that is true. But then that's why we had to have a look at NFL players, because they look like gods and are extremely good athletes.
Yeah, but they only have to be good athletes for 10 seconds at a time.
I'd argue if you're that good an athlete in rugby, you'd only need to be good for 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah, maybe.
But then there's a crossover, because the pre-steroids bodybuilders, so like the 1950s bodybuilders, they just look like average blokes.
Yeah, they
do. They just look. I've got 1953 Mr. Universe, where Sean Connery was in it. I think he won it, and he just looks like a fairly decent in Nick bloke, but nothing special.
There is the odd old school one I found that looks like, I sort of said, you'd believe me if I said that's Pierre Spiess. There are some.
Yeah, there was some. Well, yeah, yeah.
They look ripped, not enormous, but they look ripped. But they look like they could play rugby.
You got to remember though, like back in the day, Tom Jones was doing videos on a yacht, and he was meant to be in good shape. And, like his pathetic smooth body and pencil arms.
Yeah,
just is a little bit tanned. What? There's players in the Lee third team that look far better than that.
Again, if you're referring to some local third teams, there's definitely some steroid use, not for performance enhancing, but for aesthetic purposes.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Indeed. Oh, that was a nice way to open the podcast,
wasn't it? And you can find us on, well, anywhere you get your podcasts, and we go subscribe. This is the second podcast of the week. If you missed the first one, it's right there waiting for you, and that's why you should subscribe, because it will just get downloaded to your phone or your computer or wherever you're listening. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you as well for your support, both but with your ears and by listening. That's all we ask of.
Mm-hmm.
To the people that have signed up and are contributing to our Patreon, really appreciate it. patreon.com/eggchasers. We've got a strong zero related message today.
Yes, I read this. It's brilliant, and it just hit home. It just really hit home, because this is exactly what a day on Strong Zero was like.
Yeah, well, I'll read it for Phil's benefit. So again, patreon.com/eggchasers. That's where this message was sent, actually, by Greg. And sorry, I'm just waiting for it to open up. Oh, yeah. Greg, I may have to abbreviate Greg, and I apologise if I do. So Greg says, it was England v Argentina in Tokyo 2019. He said, I'd like to begin by saying, it's fantastic you've finally given me a way to give you something back.
Yep.
After listening for 5 years.
And it's great that we've finally worked out a way to receive that thing.
Anyway, having heard JB and Phil talk about Strong Zeros before, I can finally share my story to the right people. People who were in Tokyo that day. People who consumed Strong Zero. People who understand what Strong Zero does to you. And I think this is just a way of getting across. If you've heard Phil and JB mentioning Strong Zero, this just gets it across. For context, he moved to Bangkok for a number of reasons. Because he was in that part of the world, he ended up going to the Rugby World Cup in Tokyo. What a day in Tokyo. The blue sky, the people, the cleanliness, the ramen, the beer. We were in high spirits as we headed to the game. Our plan was simple. Head to the fan zone to meet my two mates from Alderley Edge, just outside Manchester. Polish off a few drinks, walk to the game, watch the game, head back for a night out in Tokyo. Easy. We entered the fan zone with smiles on our faces. My friends approached, we embraced, and they pulled out 4 cans of Strong Zero for us.
Four?
Uh-oh.
Someone's ending up dead in the morning.
We thought we were ready. We were wrong. I estimate we drank 5 cans each before the game, including one from,
oh my God,
including one from a corner shop on the way. There was one clear moment prior to the game I realised things weren't going to end well. I was stood leaning on a tree. I looked around, smiling, but I was on my own. For the briefest moment, I had no idea where I was until I looked up and saw the stadium, smiled again, and somehow found my way back to my girlfriend and friends. To really hammer it home, I believe we sat down in the stadium with two whiskey highballs each.
I did love the whiskey highballs. In fact, that might be actually my favourite drink still now, actually.
The game is lost to me forever. A complete blur. Vision, sight, smell, sound, all a blur. At one point, I remember turning to my girlfriend and she was holding a small Japanese baby and wearing a bandana. I remember shotting something with a topless Japanese man. Then I remember being outside the stadium alone. I was by gate 3. I pulled out my phone and attempted contact. I saw a message about being lost, about someone being lost. I sent a message to our group that I later read that said, 3, full stop, come. What happens next is something I ponder about today in my quieter moments. Eventually, I kind of came back to life and regained some semblance of control, but I wasn't outside the stadium. I was in a restaurant at a table with 8 strangers and 1 person I knew. The last time I'd seen this person was at Mojo's in Manchester. What an establishment.
Wow.
Where we'd gone, always gone for a midweek drink whilst we were working on a project up there together. Zombies all round. He was always a good bloke, but one I'd not spoken to in a while. So he just found a complete stranger that he happened to know in Tokyo that wasn't the people he was there with.
I think I bumped into... Yeah, go on.
Anyway, he had courses and courses of food that there's photo evidence of, but doesn't really remember any of it. Everyone got split up. His girlfriend was found passed out in the stadium toilets a few hours after the final whistle.
Much like Phil.
She ended up in Yokohama because she got the wrong train.
Oof. Oh, my God.
After the ground. Oh, my word. Yeah. The hangover was brutally savage. I've been on Buckfast before in some potent West Country scrumpy, but Strong Zero is on another level.
Now, there must be something culturally significant about Strong Zero, the more I think about it.
Oh, and he just finishes it by saying, God help the UK when they strike that trade deal, and it hits the shelves.
No, thank you. There must be something culturally significant about it, because it's not stocked with the alcohol, it's stocked with the sandwiches, and it's stocked with other alcoholic beverages, of which all are packaged similarly, but... Or like half the strength.
Or a third of the strength.
Why Strong Zero is special to the Japanese, I do not know.
I think we should get a sideline business importing Strong Zeros.
Maybe.
It could take over from Negroni.
I've got ethical issues with that.
Yeah, I have. I have as well. It's like dealing cluster munitions, isn't it?
Anyway, that was kind of rugby related, but just I thought I'd share the story. But let's get into the Six Nations then.
Yeah, let's do that.
The rugbiest time of the year. I love it. I love the Six Nations.
I'm actually looking forward to it. I say actually. I mean, obviously, I'm massively looking forward to it. I always do. Obviously, the crowds. I'm not going to go into all of that. But I am starting to get a little bit of a buzz about it now. Now I'm used to the new normal. I think I can concentrate a little bit more on the rugby.
Yeah, and we need to just acknowledge before going into it, eyes open, it isn't going to be the same and it isn't going to be as good without a crowd. That's just how it is. So I'm managing my own expectations. It's the same with the Super Bowl. It's not going to be the same. There's 22,000 people going to be in the Tampa Bay Stadium, which is a good effort. But it's not going to be the same, though.
I am impressed by the amount of noise, the sparsely... The sparse crowds in the NFL make. They do a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, probably intelligent recording equipment as well.
Very much so. Very much so. It's going to be interesting. And I think there is one team, or maybe two teams, one team, who are the heavy, heavy favourites.
Do you want to reveal that now, or should we use that as a tease?
Let's go around the room. Who do you think is your heavy, heavy favourite, JB?
France.
Okay.
I would say I think France are probably favourites. But I don't think heavy favourites is quite right.
No, they
are minor favourites in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. Minor favourites, followed very closely by England, but also and Ireland, who purely because of the way the fixtures fall, Ireland host France. And England,
yes.
Oh, really? Goodness me.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see Ireland win the tournament.
And also France, they have 3 home fixtures, but their 2 away fixtures are their hardest ones. They travel, obviously, to Ireland, but they also travel to Twickenham. So
yeah, that is interesting. England, we'll go into them in more detail. A quick hot take on them. I just don't think they've got enough ball carriers, frankly. That's my big... Wales have got even less ball carriers. Ireland are getting a little bit stale. And Scotland are interesting. Scotland are very interesting. And Italy's Italy. We can wrap this podcast up now, I guess.
Yeah, done it. One thing I just want to say before we get into the games is I cannot believe that it's almost 12 months ago since my last live sporting event.
Oh my word. Yeah, you went to the game just before lockdown.
First week of March, it was about the 8th of March, whatever it was, last year, England versus Wales at Twickenham. I was there with 80-odd thousand other people, had an amazing time. There was whispers and rumours of COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2 and the consequences of it all. There was a few people doing the elbow greet or the foot tap greet. But besides that, it was just a normal day. Everything was still fully open, and it's 11 months ago that that happened, and it seems like a different world.
Doesn't it? It's
been a crazy, crazy year.
Yeah. And think about me. I've not been to the AJ Bell for nearly a year. that is tough.
I've been to France and to Ireland a few times to watch rugby. I recognise how fortunate I've been to have witnessed that. I was at one of the only Premiership games that had any sort of crowd when Quins had
Gloucester, is it? Gloucester?
Quins had 4,000. Quins Northampton.
Gloucester did have one with a couple of thousand.
Then it was cancelled the next one, wasn't it? They had some trials. So, are you wearing extra chief socks?
No, these are really cool, actually.
Are they?
I was going to contact the company and say, hey, we could partner up. But I got them in my Christmas stocking this year.
They do look cool.
Thank you, Santa Claus. But they're basically regular socks that are made to look like rugby socks. And I've got a pair of Quins ones, England ones, and these are Bath ones.
Oh, are they? So
they're regular socks, but they look like rugby socks.
So I, looking at that now, you got, I would say that stripe pattern is Exeter rather than Bath.
No, I think there might be a reason that I think they might have to change the exact because design, the colours, it's definitely Bath. It's blue,
Bath are a sort of deeper blue than that, and that light sort of...
Well, no, it's like old school Bath.
Yeah.
Royal blue.
So I think that's Exeter. No, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I think it is.
Anyway, I'll find out the company and we should get in touch with them because it's very cool.
It is cool. I like them.
Yeah. A lot of water's under the bridge. So I was going to say, even though I have been to some live sporting events... It's just not the same.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's going to be such pent-up demand, we'll all come flooding back in stadiums. Do you know what? This choice will probably be taken out of our hands, won't it? It'll be 20% capacity, 50% capacity. It won't just be one day 100% capacity, everyone get in.
Yeah, I think that's right. They're not just going to turn on the taps. It will be probably 12 months from now before... the government deems the vaccination rate is satisfactory to open stadiums fully.
Anyway,
I don't want to get into that because
that would be my prediction.
The response to the question, can you guarantee there won't be lockdowns next winter? The answer to that just made me so...
Don't.
I'm not getting into it.
Talk about the rugby. So who is the first game on the weekend?
Well, let's rattle through each team.
All right, good idea.
So Italy, we'll just sort of like status check. We'll MOT each team. Just chuck them, get them in the garage, look under the bonnet a little bit and see what we think. What do we think
of
Italy?
Rip off the owners.
Yeah. Be making that noise when I looked at Italy. I'm like,
don't you
just deal with models? It's going to cost you.
Don't you deal with models this old? I don't really know about Italy. I don't know enough about them, is the honest answer. I don't watch nearly enough Benetton, despite owning a Premier Sports subscription. I know they don't have Paledre because he's still injured, and that's a big loss. So the answer is I really do not know how Italy are going
to
show up.
They're not giving a goodbye to Sergio Parise by the look of it. He's not in the squad anyway.
Really?
No. He's not in the squad. He wasn't in it last Six Nations. In over the autumn internationals, not in it now. Italy's squad is interesting. So I don't know a huge amount about it, but it is a very young squad. Very, very. So there is no one over 30. Wow. There are multiple teenagers, in fact.
Yeah.
And a lot of players aged 20, 21, 22, 23. Their fly half and centre combination that played in the autumn internationals of Garbisi and Carlo Canna. Garbisi is a very talented young fly half. He's only 20, has only got five caps. And I quite liked the way they operated with two ball players.
Mm-hmm.
But I think probably the single biggest player that they will miss is Pelledri, as you've mentioned, just because he's so unique and he's so powerful. And he offers go-forward ball in almost every circumstance, no matter what that circumstance is.
Yeah,
whether he's on his own with five men on top of him,
off the back of a scrum that's going backwards at a rate of knots. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He's a get out of jail free card quite often.
I mean, he really is, and they've got so Yuan Meyer, Negri, and Banda are good back rows. They're talented, strong. They're not Pelledri.
I like Negri. I think Banda has got good all around. He's a good club player. Whether he's quite up to international standards, I don't know. Because I watch him, and he's meant to be an eight. And he's only 6'2". He's, what, like 100 kilograms? He's not exactly Billy Vinopola. So I worry about that. I do like Steyn. Steyn can carry, Negri can carry, and Pelledri can carry. So when they get those guys going, at least they can go forward.
Yeah, but I looked at the squad and thought exactly as you did, Phil. I looked at the age profile and thought, okay, I understand why they're doing that and Franco Smith trying to just change the guard a little bit. But as a result, I think they're going to get pumped.
I think they get pumped.
Yes. Yeah. But it depends how they approach it. I think they're going to lose every game, like categorically. I think they will get pumped in a few games, but they've got to look for positives. And it depends how they set that mindset up. Because if they set the mindset of learning and building, then it could be fruitful and they could take that into the next few years. If they're expecting results right now, this is not the squad to be doing it.
I mean, there have been perennial losers for the best part of two decades, probably now, more than that. And I think, so what if they lose a few more years, if in year three they manage to get it right? But you just think, don't you, how long do we need to wait till Italy get really competitive? And I don't think we'll ever see it.
At international level, I think probably Franco Smith is, generally speaking, picking the best players available. They just happen to be quite young.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. I hope that's what he's doing, because I think at international level it is absolute folly to think you can play a team to try and develop them for 3 years' time overall. Yes, you can bring in some players, but to do that en masse is a terrible idea at international level, I think.
They've got Stephen Vorni's Italian, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is, yeah. And Callum Brayley.
That's why I'm getting confused. Yeah, they're both from Gloucester.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Well, they were. Callum Brayley's not there. He's over there in Italy now.
Yeah, he's in Zeba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I made the mistake a couple of weeks ago. I caved and I downloaded Football Manager onto my phone again.
Oh, no.
It's all right. No, I've ditched it again. Don't worry.
For Crypto Manager.
But I did notice that... And I don't know if it's actually the case, I don't watch enough football, but the football team on there is called Zebra. Juve is called Zebra.
Oh, because they don't have the license?
Or Zebre. No, I don't know if that's why. No, because Milan's called Milan and Inter's called Inter.
Is it just called Inter, not Inter Milan?
Yeah, they're called Inter, but then I don't think that's why, because I think they pay up all the licenses, but they're called Zebra. So, maybe that is why.
Could be licensing.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Is Brian Briggs on there? Are the player names okay?
Zebre is Turin, though, is it?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I thought... No, it's not Parma, because they actually had a team.
Yeah, Parma. Zebre is Parma.
Oh, is it? Right, there you go. Then. Parma.
Oh, okay, yeah, it is a licensing thing. Yes. Yes, it's a licensing thing. Well done. Well spotted. Anyway, yeah, they're going to get pumped. So moving up the table... Well, based on what we've been saying, we've got that... Well, I mean, anyone could break out of the fifth place and get third or second even with one or two bad results. But let's go with Scotland apologies to Scottish fans.
Do you think Scotland are going to be the second worst team? Is that how we're doing it? So we're going to say Italy are going to be the worst, and then Scotland second worst.
Well, I did just caveat saying any team could go second to fifth.
Interesting. So I'd want to put Wales here, but we can talk about Scotland. So I think Scotland are really interesting. Really interesting, particularly their backs. As for their forwards, they might struggle a bit. They're not particularly big.
Now, have World Rugby or the Six Nations Unions, have they changed the laws of the Six Nations so that juggling is part of, is rewarded?
Don't be misled by that. Do not be misled by that. I've seen him do this with rugby balls, and he can kick them at the same time as juggling.
No, I'm saying, so are we having, can we have multi-balls on the field and like points for juggling? Because if so, Scotland are going to win the tournament.
They're going to annihilate people.
That Instagram video of Finn Russell juggling tennis balls and tennis rackets and balls.
He's amazing.
He's ridiculous.
But I watched him do that on the way out to play Japan. I was like, Japan are absolutely nailed here. There's no way you can beat a team whose fly half can juggle rugby balls and kick them at the same time.
Oh yeah, that was shown in the warm up.
So cool.
On the
he
telly,
does it all the time.
Yeah.
And then they got battered. So yeah. Be careful with Finn's juggling routine. It can often...
Finn sanity.
Yeah, it can often lead you to places you don't want to be.
Yeah.
Now, the noises from camp around Finn are very positive. It's coming out that he's...
Only had 1.5 beers.
Exactly.
1.5 beers, that's probably not enough to make him true Finn sanity. Yeah. Bring out all his superpowers.
It's like when you played pool in the pub back in the day. There's a sweet spot where you just the right amount where everything you hit goes in.
Yeah, but you say that about driving, Tim, and I don't agree with you.
So I think I'm quite positive about Scotland this year. I think if it's right, if Finn is motivated. He's got some talent around him, and if he can bring the best out of that talent, if the two can work in perfect harmony, then I think Scotland will be good. And Scotland were the only team to beat France last year. Don't forget that, and that's no mean feat.
What are Scotland's fixtures? Who have they got at home?
They face England away in the first game.
Yeah.
Then they host Wales. Then they travel to France, which is obviously tough. But then they host Ireland and then Italy. So you've got three winnable home games.
Yeah, right.
It seems unlikely that they'd get anything out of France away and unlikely from anything from England away, but not impossible after their
definitely not.
Draw, 38-all draw last year.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 2 years ago.
So Finn Russell, probably the best 10 in the tournament. I don't care. I know that other 10s exist, but I think he is
well,
the best.
Untermack not being available. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, Farrell's great. Sexton's
Farrell
great.
Farrell won't be 10, but yeah.
Well, you know, whoever they pick, you know, they're all going to be good 10s. None of them can do the things which Finn Russell can do. You just have to cast your mind back to when he threw that outrageous pass against England to, was it Johnson? Sam Johnson? I mean, I just don't know how that, I don't even know
is
how you.
Hugh Jones?
It could have been Hugh Jones. Could have been Sam Johnson. I don't know who it was, but I just don't even know how you think about doing that, frankly. Let alone do it.
Word is Gary Graham will get the nod at 8.
Yep, heard that.
And also, Duane van der Merwe on the wing could change the dynamic of that team. It gives Finn another tool to play with in different ways. You can imagine Duane van der Merwe being a threat on Finn Russell's inside shoulder coming in from blindside.
Well, personally, I think Finn Russell, Cam Redpath, Harris, it sounds to me like the best centre... the best centre combo, the most balanced, maybe not the two best players, but the most balanced centre combo with Finn Russell sounds awesome.
And then, who do you pick as, because I like that for balance.
I do. I don't think Cam Redpath starts against England.
I probably would start him. The other thing you've got to remember as well is the guy who always plays well, no matter if it's his club or his country, and never gets enough credit. What's the name from Duncan Taylor? So they can call upon him to wear the 13 jersey. They've got Byron McGuigan, get in, lad, on one wing, Sean Maitland. I mean, they've got so many good options, and they've got young options too, like James Lang, who I also really rate.
Who do you pick as your back three? Because I think you've just mentioned great mates and McGuigan. I don't think those two will start.
Blair. Would it be Blair Kinghorn, or would it be? So it's going to be Doohan. It's going to be Iron Do
Hog.
Finn, probably
Iron Do Finn Sanity. Iron Do Hog, and
I would pick
probably Blair Kinghorn based on recent.
I mean, that's obviously
selections.
I mean, that probably might happen. But I think that'd be nonsense. You've got to pick Byron McGuigan. You just have to. Like, every time he's played for Scotland, he's looked pretty good. On his debut, he nearly scored 3 tries against Australia.
Great Mates is great, though.
Great Mates will be on the bench. I think they'll keep him in reserve just in case. Just as, you know, being a solid winger is damning with faint praise, isn't it? But he's a solid winger.
I think they'll go Kinghorn. I think they'll go Iron Do and Kinghorn. But I do like
I like that. I like they've got 2 very Scottish sounding wingers there. Blair Kinghorn and Doohan van der Merwe.
Yep, very, very Scottish.
But to be fair, Kinghorn and Darcy Graham as actual Scottish wingers, other than van der Merwe, McGuigan and Maitland.
I love it.
Yeah, up front it's interesting because, I mean, they do have some good second rows.
They've got some elite second rows, some very, very good second rows.
It depends what you want them to do, though. Do you know what I mean? You know, they've got no one of the quality. They haven't got an Alan Wynne-Jones, and they haven't got a Mara Toji. I mean, they do have guys who are good, but they do different things.
No, Johnny Gray stepped up in the last year
or
two.
His carrying's got better, but he's not a good carrier.
His engine's unreal.
Yeah, but, you know, so is Mo Farah's.
Yeah, and he won 2 Olympic gold medals.
Well, play Mo Farah at second row. look, if you want someone to absorb tackles and be there all the time, he's great. But you need something else as well.
Well, no, you need someone that will hit rucks and win you clean ball all day long and be massive in defence, so that your slightly lighter, more mobile back row can go and wreak havoc in the way they do, and that's why Johnny Gray is so important. And yeah. and Grant Gilchrist. As
yeah,
well,
just
to be go fair.
And do. Grant Gilchrist is a bigger man, actually. Jamie Ritchie's cool. What's his name's cool? Watson.
I mean,
they're pretty good. I like the addition of Gary Graham. Mm. Now that might be the kryptonite for England.
He's gonna just go and wallop people, isn't he?
Yeah, beating people up, throwing his head in spokes. You know, he's a guy who I think can really niggle England, and that'll be the thing which really gets him.
He can be a real nasty piece of work.
Yeah,
I quite like that.
It's a really abrasive back row.
Yeah,
if Gary Graham starts at 8, and then you've got Jamie Ritchie and Hamish Watson, that is a really niggly, abrasive, hard to play against back row.
Just hard.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, yeah. Not the biggest. They've not got anyone 130 kg,
but hard. But
they carry hard. They hit hard. They work hard. It's a good balanced back row. That.
In fact, we were talking about MMA the other day. Hamish Watson. I bet he'd be amazing at MMA. I bet.
Yeah, he probably would be.
In fact, they were talking about it on BT Sport, like a Royal Rumble, weren't they? Rugby Royal Rumble.
Oh,
on Rugby Tonight, at Rugby Tonight Extra or whatever it was. And I reckon Hamish Watson would be. He'd be genuinely a good wrestler. I reckon.
I would say so. I'd say so. Not quite on the level of.
Crisis.
Yes, Crisis.
Jamal Ford Robinson.
Yeah, let's go Crisis.
One problem I think Scotland will have is their hooker, because they're losing 2 superb players in McAnally and Fraser Brown, who are both missing.
So they can just get Ross Ford back for a bit, can't they?
Yeah, Ross Ford will be right. Well, that's interesting. So the guys have pulled up are Cherry, who I don't know much about, to be honest, at all.
Well, that's why she got demoted in the SNP.
Who?
Joanna Cherry.
I would not. That is niche. That is very niche.
Politics news from today. Topical. Hot off the press.
There we go. That is very niche.
Someone will have enjoyed that.
Someone. And well,
Phil's brother would have enjoyed that.
He would have.
He would have.
Does he listen?
He occasionally listens, I think.
Yeah, very,
very occasionally.
But a politician's
answer. He's a busy man.
The other option they've called up is Ewan Ashman, who I do know a bit about. So
yeah, tell us about Ewan Ashman.
He's called Ewan Ashman.
He's called Ewan Ashman.
He was born in Toronto.
Yeah, he's had limited first team opportunities at Sale, as you'd expect. I don't know if maybe the fact that he becomes an international gives him a little bit more respect around the club, and then he gets some more game time as a result. But he's quite far behind Langdon and the other guy who
Iron Do's brother.
Iron Do's brother. But he's good. He's a pretty good. He's a pretty good all round player. It's a massive jump though from what he's been doing, then starting against England. To put it mildly, it's a massive jump. I'm not entirely sure I'd start him, but you know, maybe throw him on the bench.
Yeah. So that could be a problem, and that's probably one that teams will identify and target. Scrum and line out.
Yeah, the scrum's going to be a problem for Scotland. I'm sure of that. Absolutely sure of that.
Well, let's do it. Do you want to go through the squads? Or if we did England and then looked at the matchup?
Yeah, okay. So just on Scotland, I know we're doing them second. I honestly think they could come second rather than before fifth, as we're suggesting. I think that this team could be second to France.
I think they could be.
I mean, anyone could be, I guess, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not
I think they can... I think they can fairly comfortably win three games. Whether they could win the fourth, whether those two away games against England and France are tough. But yeah, I think they'll be in the mix.
I can see them doing England. I really can. I mean, they
can do.
There was a couple of question marks when you look at England, and it's one of the question marks. I mean, these are very experienced players, so I don't expect it to be a problem. But the Saracens not having played factor...
It's huge.
It could be a huge positive.
Yeah, it's huge. It's going to be huge one way or another. I'm certain of that. It's a really interesting experiment. Do your players need to be battle-hardened before they go in? I know Phil thinks that they don't because of Argentina. I tend to think that they do. And every time that Ireland lose, the Irish press are up in arms. Either they are too overplayed... Or they're too underplayed.
But equally, go back to the relegation, and you were saying this could be absolutely brilliant for those Saracens players. This could be brilliant. They're going to hardly play any rugby. They're going to be fresh going into Six Nations, and they'll play really well and go into the Lions. And I think it's going to work that way around.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how it's going to... Yeah, you can make a really good argument for both. And if they play well... It'll almost be like we are justifying what happened by the result without actually thinking, did what happened cause that result? So I honestly do not know.
I think the pack picks itself, really.
Well, they've got issues at prop, haven't they?
Both props. You've not got your first choice. You've not got Sinks or Mako.
Yeah.
Don't have Sinks or Mako or on the loose head Marler. So it'll be Genge starting.
Yeah, maybe.
With Benno Abano on the bench.
Maybe.
Probably, yeah. I would be a bit tempted to flip that around.
Yeah, I would be as well.
And then you'd imagine it will be... Harry Williams or Will Stewart will start and the other one on the bench.
Well, who are in the squad? Who are the tight heads in the squad, Tim?
Well, those are the two main ones.
Yeah, I think it is that just Stewart and Williams.
Two. Yeah, I... think that this England front row isn't quite battle-hardened enough yet. So Jamie George will sit in between those. I don't think I would be confident starting... Yeah, I think you're right. You've got to start... what's his name? Genge. You've got to start Genge. I'm not starting Abano in a test match just yet because that will be his debut. If it's not his debut, it's definitely his first Six Nations start.
Yeah, it would be his debut.
And he only needs to give away a couple of penalties, head goes down... And then he's on the back foot for the rest of the game. So you've got to go with Genge. It's going to be a tricky one, actually. A real tricky one.
Yeah, but around those players. I mean, Ellis Genge has got 20-odd caps now. Williams and Stewart on the tight head are less experienced. So, yeah, they're being thrown into it. And they're going to sink or swim. We're going to learn a lot about those guys. Now they don't have the very experienced guys...
Yeah,
around them sharing the workload, but around them, look, just the rest of the front five: Jamie George, World Cup finalist; Maro Itoje, World Cup finalist; Courtney Laws, World Cup finalist; Billy Vunipola, Sam Underhill, Tom Curry. It's a very experienced England pack,
and you start to get excited, don't you, when you talk about those second rows?
Yeah.
So Maro and Courtney in the So I would have preferred Maro and Launchbury in the second
round. He's injured now, so
with Laws on the flank with Curry and Underhill. That's how I'd like them to line up.
Underhill's out as well now, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course he is.
So it does give them options of who to try.
Yeah, who will be the... So would you... I assume Curry will be seven then, and it's you're filling in the six role, which could be...
It, It depends, because if it's Ben Earl making the step up, I'd have Earl at 7 and keep Curry at 6. Mark Wilson, if you've got Mark Wilson and Curry, it could be either of them. It doesn't. It really doesn't matter who wears 6 and who wears 7.
It's going to be one of those two, really, isn't it?
Sorry?
What's the alternative, sorry?
The alternative would be Itoje or Laws steps into the 6 jersey and Curry goes to 7.
I think I like Johnny Hill a lot, but I think he's going to pick Mark Wilson or Ben Earl ahead of Johnny Hill.
I think he goes Earl at 7. Earl starts at 7 and Wilson on the bench.
Town, so let's go through this. Who's our front? Who do you think the front row will be? Williams,
Genge, George, and Stewart.
Stewart, I'd say.
I'd go Williams. I don't think Stewart's actually. I'd love Stewart to start.
I would go. I would go Williams, but I think it'll be Stewart.
Yeah,
who seems to be above him in the pecking order with Eddie Jones at the moment.
So it's definitely Itoje. Who partners Itoje?
Courtney Laws. 85 caps. So Courtney Laws. You need that experience in the front five.
I hate to say this, I can see him going with
Johnny Hill.
No, I'd like him to go with Johnny Hill. That would be great. I can see him going with Charlie Yules. He's done it before.
No, because in the original squad, Yules wasn't picked as one of the four.
Yeah, Yules was shadow squad originally. And then, so I don't think he will.
I don't know about that. I've got a feeling. And then Laws on the flank, but you think Laws will be in second row. So who's your back row then?
Back row, Curry, Earl, Vunipola.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think it'll be.
Curry, Earl, Vunipola. There are some issues with this. I mean, it's an inexperienced front row. Jamie George and Itoje and Billy might be on fire, or they might be rusty, and we'll have to see. If they're on fire because they're well rested, that's great. If they're not, the spine of the pack are going to be struggling a bit.
So I agree, as in I agree with the assessment. I think they will tend towards, I wouldn't say on fire, but I think the rest will have done them good. Because it's been 2 months since they played. They played, obviously, a lot of games in the autumn, a lot of games towards the end of last season, a lot of games in the autumn. And they're well known, as in they're well known by the England and Saracens conditioning staff. So I think they'll be in decent enough shape. The fitness is not what I would be worried about, because I think that's relatively easy to fix. The bit that I would be worried about is not in the forwards, it's in the backs. And there's two reasons. One, the rustiness of not playing. Key guys like, well, two key positions would be Farrell and Daly, who haven't played since autumn. But also the fact that in the autumn, they didn't really play in the back line, because they went with a very simple game plan of defense, bully people up front. And they then, obviously, so they didn't do any attack and skills coaching. They then had their skills coach drop out last minute because he decided to stay in Melbourne. Andy Robinson's son got the gig last minute, who's apparently a very talented coach, Ed.
You know something about Ed, do you not?
My brother was head coach at Rotherham, and he gave Ed his first coaching job for free, basically, because Rotherham had no money. Ed Robinson was highly talked about, and Nick played with Russell Earnshaw at Bath. Or I don't know if they actually played together, but certainly when I moved to Bath, Nick was living in a room in Russell Earnshaw's house.
Was he really?
With a bunch of other Bath players, yeah.
Huh.
And anyway, so I think Russell Earnshaw just gave Nick a call and said, you know, well done on getting the head coach gig. There's this kid, Ed Robinson, he's really good. So Nick said, come on up and let's do it. And I remember Nick saying to me within a few weeks, he said, this kid is amazing.
That's interesting. Isn't
he said he is the shit as a coach. And I've spoken before about Saracens coaches. Nick, when he was going through his coaching badges and stuff, or whatever state, whatever level it is, I can't remember what level four, I don't, whatever it is, I don't know.
Three, then four.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
Then five?
Then five, yeah.
He went and spent some
time. So it's gone down from five to four now.
So he went and spent some time at Saracens, just kind of, you know, watching how they did things and working with the coaches there. And he said, I've mentioned this before, Saracens sort of create stories. And they do their coaches do these presentations, and they create stories that kind of binds everyone together around, you know, this is our next 3-week focus, and I think he said when he was there, it was something related to Star Wars. Anyway, but he said Ed Robinson, as well as being a really smart coach, straight away, Nick took over as head coach. He was forwards coach, but Rotherham were doing really badly. So the head coach got binned, and Nick got given the head coach job and did really well, well enough to get the London Scottish gig. Anyway, so Ed Robinson came in, and Nick said he just did this whole great escape, and he did things like, within a week of being there, he'd got all the players' faces, and he'd changed the heads on the picture of the Great Escape movie, and just really positively getting, he said he just managed to galvanise the whole squad together, managed to get them to really believe that they could win, and they won their first game of the season the next week.
Awesome.
And they'd lost every game. So anyway, yeah, he speaks very highly of Ed Robinson. So I don't know what role he's... Is he just skills, part of the attack and skills?
Skills, yeah. I think, yeah.
He's skills doing the role that Jason Riles, who's an NRL coach, former NRL player and coach, was doing or was going to be doing. So that is a disruption to their coaching team. But there's also other disruptions because Eddie Jones and Simon Amore and Simon Proudfoot, the forwards coach, have all had to isolate for various periods of time recently because of COVID. So just that whole thing, I just wonder how much that disruption will impact the fluidity of the way they want to play. Unless they just want to continue to revert back to that very simplistic game plan that they used in the autumn.
Well, my problem with this, with their pack so far, is I've seen no out-and-out carriers. I've seen, you know, there are lads that can do things with a ball, but you don't have the brute force of Mako or Sinclair. And that's an important part.
Tom Curry.
Billy,
obviously, and Tom Curry's become a really good carrier.
Yes,
both him and Jack Willis have some of those back row guys. It's like, I think they've been told, right,
start carrying. The thing is, the different types of carriers, and I hate to say this, will make me popular, is Billy declining a bit? He's certainly not the player he was at his peak, almost by definition.
Well, he's been quite honest. He's still not old.
How
at
old
all.
Is he?
28.
Yeah,
28.
So he's still prime age, and he said himself he's had a lot of injuries. He's had broken arms. And
that's kind of the point, isn't it, though?
Well, he was talking about it and saying that he thinks psychologically he hasn't been. There's been a little something. He's not been going all in. But he said, "I'm past that. I'm over that." He seems like he's raring to go.
I mean, I can't think of what else he would say. But yeah, I hope you're right, because if you're wrong, England are going to struggle. I think they'll struggle, not necessarily because the personnel are not the right personnel for other coaches. It's more to do with the fact that they need to be the right personnel for what Eddie wants. And Eddie needs people to get over the game line. That's what he loves more than
that's what every international coach needs.
That is true. But Eddie, more than most. So if you look at his back division, which we will turn our attention to now, again, they don't have that line breaker, which is maybe why Paolo Odogwu gets some sort of involvement.
They've got Ollie Lawrence and Doggers as those two real go-forward men. Everyone else is either a playmaker or a pace man.
Yeah.
So your playmakers being Farrell, Ford and Slade, and your pace men being May, Watson, Daly. And then Malins perhaps being a combination of the two, the pace man with a playmaker.
Yeah, and to be fair to Odogwu, he is rapid. Like, his acceleration, his explosivity is unbelievably good.
I think he probably will go on the bench because he can cover in the centre. Well, no, actually, no, he won't, because Malins will be on the bench.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? I don't think he's an international style standard winger. I think his skills are best suited to 13, but he's had two games there for Wasps. It's one hell of a risk to
Italy,
either start him.
Play him against Italy.
Yeah, I think
play him against the other. Just rub it into Italy. Yeah. Here's what you could have won.
Yeah, you've got to get him capped, though, because otherwise he will be playing for Italy.
Yeah. So yeah. It'll be Ben Youngs. So this isn't what I would pick, but it'll be Ben Youngs, George Ford, Owen Farrell.
Yeah.
Who of the two wingers will be Johnny May and Anthony Watson, and it'll be Elliot Daly at fullback. The 13 is the question, though, isn't it? That's, again, the perennial. Oh, no, it'll be Henry Slade, so that's fine.
I think Ollie Lawrence has got a hell of a shot here.
Over Henry Slade?
Yeah.
Or over George Ford and Farrell goes to 10.
Yeah.
Or over Farrell.
No.
Well, so I think, Tim, you've nailed it again. I think it'll be exactly that back line you've mentioned. I do really like Ollie Lawrence. I think he's got a shot of putting him in just because if you have that back line that you've listed, there is no direct running option anywhere, not on the wing.
That's why I think it's Lawrence. If you've got Slade, do you know, if Slade plays, I think England lose this. I'm convincing myself in my head they lose this. I've seen enough of England now to have a good feeling of when they're going to be good and when they're not. And this looks like one of those times.
Maybe I wouldn't be... Well, okay, so I'm thinking maybe he does chuck a dog wheel on the wing because purely he doesn't have a body. If he'd been informed, Joe Thock and a singer would have been it.
Or Jack Knoll.
Or Jack Knoll. And had Ollie Thorley had more game time, it would have been Ollie Thorley.
What do you think Finn Russell does with this information about the winger? If it's Palo Odogwu.
Oh, he does what he wants, doesn't he?
He does what he wants. I mean, it's just a dangerous game that you're playing. I hope Odogwu plays and plays really, really well. But my word, what an ask. I mean, Wasps are trying to transition him from wing to centre. He's not quite ready for centre. You're going to put him back out on the wing.
He needs touches. If you're going to pick him, he needs touches.
You're going to have to really look after him, and you're going to have to put him in a position where he can succeed. And I think he can succeed. But, you know, that's a really difficult job, particularly when everyone else on the field is trying to, well, is aware of this and is trying to stop you from doing it.
But Eddie Jones has shown he likes... So I'm coming round to this Doggers starting thinking now, because Eddie Jones has shown he likes a winger who will come off their wing, like basically being given a free role to pop up wherever you want. Mm. He's done it with Jack Knoll. He's done it. He brought Chris Ashton into the squad a couple of years ago so he could do exactly the same. He spoke about Jonathan Joseph doing exactly that role in the Autumn Internationals. And if you're doing that role and your other two in the back three can cover you positionally, territorially, tactically, then you can have like a total free role, which would amazingly suit Doggers.
It would, but I've never
seen... It's like the perfect role for him.
I don't know if it is. I've never seen him do... I've seen him play on the wing. I've seen him play at the centre. I've never seen him be like Jack Knoll.
So not in terms of where I've seen him pop up, but all I'm thinking is he basically follows the back line, follows the ball, and anytime anyone takes a half contact, the offload to him... And then he's hitting arms and he's carrying. That is perfect for him if you can get him to read the game well enough.
And in the autumn, what wasn't Eddie Jones like not playing left and right wings? It was more like an open side wing and a blind side wing with Johnny May and Jonathan Joseph.
No, we got that wrong. It was a tight head wing.
So Doggers would be a tight head wing and leave Johnny May loose head wing.
Yes, Johnny May or Anthony Watson, loose head wing.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. It's an interesting one.
We'll wait and see the selection, I guess.
England, for me, look like a team which could be second or third.
I have issues with the backline balance and I do want to find a solution, but I also want Henry Slade to play because he's so good. So, we're going to have to... Well, do you know what? It's good that you can flip between... different styles, and I think it is you get George Ford at a cost elsewhere. And
would you get, or is it Farrell that's the cost elsewhere? I think Farrell's the cost at the moment, not Ford.
No, Farrell starts whatever, whether it's 10 or 12, Farrell starts.
Yeah, but I mean, Farrell's a really good player in a really good Saracens team.
No.
George Ford is a really good player.
Farrell is a world-class player that would get in any international team in the world.
I don't think Farrell makes Leicester play better than Ford makes them play. That's all I'm saying.
That I'm saying Owen Farrell. George Ford does not get in every international team in the world. Owen Farrell gets in every other international team in the world.
But George Ford does get in the international team which Owen Farrell's in. So what does that tell you? In his position. Because they don't play him at 12 for Saracens.
Well, this is my point. It tells me England don't have better players than George Ford in other positions, relatively speaking. Well, so as I say, it's a cost benefit analysis.
Yeah, I actually think that George Ford is very, very good.
Yeah, so do I.
to the point that, I don't know, it feels like they're trying to... They can't reconcile the fact that they need to play both these guys. I still don't think 12 suits Owen Farrell particularly well. And it's weird that Saracens have never... they haven't tried it for about 10 years. You thought... You'd have thought the demands on a club side would have eventually led to this. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I think both of them definitely start. I think England have got a shot at winning it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them finish anywhere in the top three. Yeah. But they've got some tough away games, so...
Well, the way they brutalised Ireland was very impressive over the Autumn Nations. I mean, they absolutely annihilated them. So
they've got to go to Dublin, though, and do the same thing again with Ireland hurting from that.
Yeah.
I see England beating Scotland at Twickenham, but I do not take anything for granted, not since whatever it was, 2017,
was it? One of the greatest days of rugby all time that was. What a day of rugby that was. So I'm going to call it now. England lose. England lose this one.
Give me England by 5, but it's not going to be particularly pretty.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's always something special about Wales Island.
Yes. Well, there's often something. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's something special about England Scotland. Let's be fair. But yeah. I don't know. There's something. These Wales Island games are tasty.
They are. Well, they were when Gatland was around. Not so much now. I do not see this Welsh team being any good whatsoever. Can anyone disagree with that statement?
They've got. they've got proven talent, experienced talent right across the squad.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of experience right across the squad. Mm-hmm. Maybe too much in some positions when you've got guys like Ken Owens, who's 34, and Alan Wynne-Jones, who's 35. And Faletau's not old, but maybe he is a decline in power.
Yeah, I think
Jonathan Davis, 32, a lot of injuries in his time. Lee Halfpenny, 32, a lot of injuries in his time.
Yeah, exactly. But, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking when I look at the Wales squad, I'm thinking the team that might start this weekend, you can imagine for Scotland and for England and for France, there'd probably be a good 10 players that will start this weekend who have a really good chance. There's a really good chance that they'll be starting in a World Cup in a couple of years' time. For Wales, I don't think that's the same.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I'm looking at the squad. I mean, if George North plays, George North apparently is playing with some really good rugby at the Ospreys. I don't know if that is true or not, but he's not played particularly good international rugby for ages. And he'll have 40 minutes of decentness at some point during the Six Nations. But again, that's just another guy who's, well, I say he's getting old. He's probably only like 27 or 28.
He's 28, nearly 100 caps. He'll hit 100 caps if he plays a few games this tournament.
Fair play.
But he has had some bad injuries, and the horrible side of it is he's had a lot of bad concussions.
Well, let's just talk about who do we think in the Wales 15 is truly world class?
Right now or at the their peak?
Right now.
I think Liam Williams is.
Liam Williams, yeah. And Jonathan Davis.
Jonathan Davis,
if,
still.
If he's at his level, then yeah.
Yeah, he's still there for me.
And Dan Bigger's not far off.
Dan Bigger, yeah. Dan Bigger. Josh Adams.
And Gareth Davis would be the starting Lions 9 if it was picked tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I think Tipperick as that athletic ball playing open side
he's
is
class.
Incredible.
And Aaron Wainwright was like pulling up trees. Everyone's been raving about him the last couple of years.
Yeah, but yeah, somehow under Pivot they don't seem to do anything decent, do they? Which is it?
Yeah. So they've got the talent. They've got talent across this squad.
I think it's going to be a long, miserable Six Nations for Wales. They won't beat Ireland. I can't see him beating anyone but Italy, really.
The selection of Dan Lydiate suggests to me that, one, Wayne Pivac thinks I need to win now, and two, he may just tighten things up a little bit from the sort of all-action, the Scarlets-esque rugby. He might be like going, oh, right, international rugby's a little bit different. Okay, fine, Dan Lydiate's in. And I wonder, so the two areas, that the back row and the back three,
excuse me,
I think he may change up what he does, and I think he'll go Lee Halfpenny, Liam Williams, and Josh Adams back three. That's really solid. Jonathan Davis, Nick Tompkins, that's really solid. Oh no, George North is what. Sorry, George North.
God, yeah, George Ross. He could go Lewis Rees-Sammet if he wanted to spice things up a bit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he will do that because he needs to win. So he's going to go tried.
Yeah.
And tested. He's going to go tried and tested.
It's a fair point, that.
Actually, one question is, who's in the back row? Is it going to be Wainwright, Tipperick, Faletau? Is Navidi, Lydia, get in there? Is Navidi going to get in there? They've got a good team.
No, they've got names, right, that we recognise from the Gatland era who have not actually done anything for Wayne Pivac. And this is the
maybe
problem.
This weekend.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's entirely possible they turn it around and go and win the World Cup. I'm not convinced though. And you know, just because he did well under one of the best coaches Wales have ever had, who was tailoring the team to the needs of the players rather than trying to get the players to, you know, work to his needs. We sort of have a little bit of a distorted view of a lot of the Wales players, which is why they go overseas and don't do particularly well. You know, you've got these big names. Like, you know, Faletau is amazing. Goes to Bath, has done nothing, really.
Well, that's why I say I think I read into this selection a couple of names. Well, the main one is Dan Lydiate. I look at that and go, he's not playing Pivac ball anymore. He's gonna play Gatland ball.
Well, I mean, yeah. Think about Dan Lydiate. Who is the English Dan Lydiate? Like, who is 30-odd something, hasn't had a sniff at international rugby, and then bringing him back for one last hurrah?
Haskell would be the similar one, but obviously Haskell's in a different scenario.
Similar guy, similar prototype.
I mean, yeah, in my mind, if England were to pull this stunt and bring in, you know, I guess they did once, and they bought Worsley back for one game to tackle Jamie Roberts. But you look at it, that's a bit of a desperate move. I'm not impressed. They do have. I mean, look, if they show up with like Jared Evans playing 10, and completely light it up, maybe I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that they're going to get crushed. Now, sorry, there was one other thing I wanted to say about Wales. Allegedly, from a Welsh friend of mine. Who's really into, you know, watching the national team. There was a rumour going around that when Gatland first took over, he basically ignored the Autumns as they worked purely on fitness and getting ready for the Six Nations. And they had a really bad Autumns, and then they are always good come Six Nations. And there is some chat about that kind of process going on, which is we'll see a far fitter, far more... dedicated Wales team in the Six Nations than we did in the Autumns. And if that's the case, who knows, maybe they do better.
I kind of share your pessimism, JB. I think Wales will be lucky to not finish fifth. We're lucky to finish above fifth.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about them and the overall the strength of the overall tournament.
Yeah, agreed. Completely agreed. I can't see them beating Ireland. They can't see them beating France or England. And, well, Scotland have literally just beat them about a month, 2 months ago.
Ireland, on the other hand.
I like their chances with the way the fixtures have landed, as I said.
They're an interesting lot, Ireland, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're certainly... I don't know. They promise a lot more than they deliver. Do you think you'd move on from Johnny Sexton yet?
No. I wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't as well. I think he's still the best fly half all round. I probably wouldn't have made him captain.
Yeah.
But he is, I think, the best fly half. I think he's better than the Burns brothers in Ross and Billy.
But, I mean, they've got... I mean, long-term at least, because, of course, there's injuries. They've got... what's his name? Carberry. They've got...
Well, you know, Carberry might not play the way it's going. Keep
whatever.
Just, potentially, yeah.
Really?
It's not looking good. The injury keeps... His return keeps getting delayed with something else. So it's not in a good way. I've said it before, it's not going to happen. But the best, the form Irish 10 at the moment is Paddy Jackson.
Well, not likely, is it?
No.
He did play well at the weekend, though.
He did. But again, he's had a great season.
Also, Billy Burns is playing well. And Ross Byrne is a very good young talent.
Billy Burns isn't in the squad.
He is?
Is he? I'm just looking at it now. Oh, no, that's 2020. Oh,
oh dear.
What? There's a picture of the 2020 squad. I was just looking at it going, that's mad. How's Billy Burns not in? Yeah.
Yeah, I think this lot it's a strong squad, certainly stronger than Wales. I have been unimpressed with what Farrell has got out of them so far, particularly in the autumns. I didn't think they were that good. I like Quinn Rue. I like players like like him. Just hard as nails.
And South African.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, is he? Oh, what a shame. Anyway. They've got nice, well, potentially nice balance. I love watching Chris Farrell play. He's an absolute monster. I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
If you with centres where you can field Bundiaki, Chris Farrell, Stuart McCloskey, and Robbie Henshaw,
massive.
That is enormous.
It's pretty cool, actually, isn't it?
It is pretty cool, actually. It's direct. And then I guess as the fifth centre option, you've got Gary Ringrose, who's a poet compared to all those bulldozers.
There was some talk of big Stuart McCloskey going to France, and then Andy Farrell whips out the carrot and dangles it in front of him. No, stay for a bit longer.
I like
it. There you go, back in the squad.
Yeah, stay at Ulster forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big McCloskey fan.
He's great, McCloskey.
Do they pick Ian Henderson? Does he start?
Yeah.
So I don't think he will on form. I think it'll be James Ryan and Ty Byrne. But I love Hendo.
I love Hendo.
Hendo is class. And I was shouting in 2017 for him to be starting for the Lions test team.
Well, he is one of those guys, he brings so much energy.
He's so strong. I don't think he's played his best rugby recently from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Ty Byrne will start, because Ty Byrne is...
He's tearing it up.
He's so combative and he's so good over the ball. He's so good on the floor and in the lineup.
Yeah, I also love Ireland's front row options, particularly if they've got Byrne about. Byrne? Tad Byrne? Tad Byrne?
Ty Furlong.
Tad Furlong, yes. Thank you. Like, the props they've got are exceptional. And this is what England are missing. Big, nasty ball carrying props. That makes a huge, huge difference. Yeah, I think Ireland... the problem I've got with Ireland is I've seen them play, and it's not impressive. The names are impressive. The way they go about their business is not impressive. And the way they got beaten up by England was really not impressive.
I think this is going to be a really, really close game. And I could see Wales sneaking it. I think it'll be really tight.
No, they're going to batter Wales. They are going to batter Wales. Trust me on this one.
I think Ireland will win. I'm going to go Ireland by four. Three points, maybe.
More than 10, I'd say. More than two scores. 14 points.
And I'll go right in the middle, Island by...
What?
Eight. Island by nine. I'll go.
This is with France and who have we missed?
Italy. Well, we've already talked about Italy. Yeah. But yeah, France.
So France. France.
Yeah, this is another big step and a big test for a burgeoning French team.
I think they win the whole thing. I know you think that there's going to be struggles with away games with Ireland and England.
Week four at Twickenham.
Look what their second team nearly did at Twickenham.
Yep. Yeah.
So, go on.
So, I said I feel like I'm going to repeat myself from last year, and I was kind of right because they finished second, but they were a lot better than I was expecting them to be. In that, this is an unbelievably talented squad.
Yeah.
Even missing some of the guys they're missing, even missing Entomac and Ramos and Vakatawa, it's incredibly, incredibly talented. But I just wonder how experienced they are at the top level. And I said that last year, and they kind of pretty much proved me wrong, albeit they didn't win it. They lost to Scotland. And they've got an extra year of experience, both in Europe and in the league, and in Six Nations and Autumn Internationals since then. There's just something, I can't see how they can be so good so immediately, but they are.
Yes.
It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. And then you take out Entomac, who runs the show for Toulouse. Well, him and DuPont run the show for Toulouse. He was running the show last year. And then the two options behind him are just equally as talented in Jalibert and Carbonell. And probably Jalibert will start, but they're both precociously talented 22-year-olds, kids.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that you said there.
But just to Phil's point, their back row, the six guys they've got in the back row have 50 caps between them, which going into a Six Nations, and again, they did it last year. That's not a lot. That's not a lot. And yeah, will they get tested? And when they get tested, will they be up to it? Because on the international stage, it's a very inexperienced team.
Yeah,
in the pack anyway.
I don't know if you noticed this. They've got Paul. What's his name?
Wilhelms
in. Philly. Is he not the heaviest man in the Six Nations?
Tal Fifanua might be joint yeah. first with him. Paul Weenie Antonio as well.
Weenie Antonio is back in the squad. So
wow. So when they put out a team against Wales, not last Six Nations, Six Nations before that, is the heaviest pack ever to take the field, and they nearly did Wales, and that was under old management. If they can get that sort of size back together, God, I love this team.
Well, all they need to do is just have a solid platform to let the guys that Phil mentioned, Teddy Thomas and Penno, just
they
let.
No one wants a solid platform. DuPont. That's the most boring thing you've ever said.
No, but I'm no,
they
no,
want
no.
To be pounding.
No,
people
no, yeah.
In
of course,
face.
Of course, they want to be. But all they actually need to do is give guys like Penno and DuPont and Ficou and Teddy Thomas. All you have to do is give those guys.
I want to see his French pack ball. Rubbing people's faces in dirt. That's what I want. It's just the most physically intimidating pack when they get it right.
Big test for Jalibert, isn't it?
It will be, yes.
Huge test for him.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been centre stage, the main man, at this level.
The dangerous thing about France is I think they believe they can do it now. Whereas before they weren't sure, they know they can do it now. They had an awesome autumns. Their second team nearly beat England. I don't think Twickenham's going to be scary to them one bit.
I'm assuming Donovan Taufa-Fanua is...
8 tries in 11 games.
Related.
Got no
is
idea.
He? No?
I'm guessing he's from New Caledonia, because they all are.
He's a winger. And I don't really know much about Julien Delbois or Delbois or Bowie.
How do you say...
I don't know how you say it. Julien Delbois.
Don't know. Can't help you, yeah. I'm afraid.
I'm sure... well, just need...
Oh, yes! Didn't he play... He played over the Autumn Nations.
No.
I'm sure he did.
He hasn't been capped.
How do I know that name? I've seen him somewhere.
I am a little bit sad not that Jonathan Donte is not in the squad, because he's great to watch.
Yeah.
If he's got in the French team, he's going to be good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the thing. There you go. Probably with a grand slam.
Well, they definitely beat Italy in Italy. And then their big test is Dublin next weekend. First big test. And then England week four.
So if they win in Dublin, they're going to be on such a roll. Such a roll. Because they'll win the next week. Yeah, I think they'll roll into Dublin, win, and then they will hopefully roll into Twickenham and win. But let's see. Why don't we predict some players of the tournament and whatnot?
How about, a player... So we've predicted our winners. Well, actually, have we?
Yes, it's going to
be... So winning team, player of the tournament, top try scorer.
Yeah, so my winning team's this week. Or is it this week or overall?
Overall.
France.
Okay.
I've been predicting France for 8 years now, so I think this is the one.
There's a bit of me just thinks, well, if there were crowds, I think I'd go Ireland just because of the fixtures. But I'm going to go. I am going to go France.
I was going to go France.
Okay.
As well, but I'm going to go. Give me England.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Phil. I felt bad about not going England, and I really wanted to. Good one.
Player of the tournament's more difficult for me. All of the big names I can think of are basically declining. I'm trying to think. I think it's going to be
DuPont,
someone like that.
Olivon.
It's going to be somebody. Yeah, someone like those. I'm trying to think of the young, exciting talent.
Teddy Thomas. Oh, it's going to be Teddy Thomas.
Give me. Maybe like a Ben Earl or someone.
I can see Tom Curry getting it, potentially.
Yeah, I can see Tom Curry getting it. I mean, he really is turning into one of the best players in the country.
No, actually, do you know what? I'm going to go, this is going to be a massive... Damien Penaud is going to be player of the tournament. There's my pick.
Goodness me. Nice. Phil?
Yeah. Penaud is a great shout.
And you've gone DuPont.
I'd love to see Redpath be...
I was thinking of Redpath, actually.
I'd love to see him and Finn Russell. If things click with the power and pace outside them, I think it could be amazing.
And Hogg could get it as well.
Give me Finn Russell. There you go.
Okay, we've got Finn Russell, DuPont and Penaud. Nice. And top try scorer. I'm going to have to go Penaud as I've gone play of the tournament. I'll go Penaud.
Byron McGuigan.
Horse.
If we're just doing players we love, I'm going to go for McCloskey.
Nice. he can get to the try line, no doubt about that.
Love it.
He can.
Right, well, just a reminder, as we mentioned at the very start of the podcast, we have a brand new chance for you to come and take us on. So you've been listening to us jabbering on about what we think, and just with one very, very simple little effort, you can just flex and show how little we know and how much you know by comparison, which we're aware of that. We know that. But that's with Match Pint. And, you can win you a load of booze and you can feel smug as you drink it by beating us in a prediction league during the Six Nations. So this is point number one. Download the Match Pint app from your app store. It's on Google Play. It's on Apple App Store. Get it downloaded to your smartphone. Sign up. Go to... And how does it work, Phil? You go to the Join League...
So you go to the Pint Predictor section on MatchPint app.
Yes.
And then you go to Leagues, Join, and all you have to do is type in Egg Chasers.
Type in Egg Chasers.
And you should join me, because I am the only person in the Egg Chasers League at the moment.
Mate, that won't last for long. Don't you worry
I'm
about
all
that.
All alone.
And one of the reasons, not only can you feel smug about beating us and flexing that, but JB... we've got a pretty cool prize that you can win, both weekly and overall as well.
Yes. So, if you come first or second in the Negroni League, or the Egg Chasers League, I call it the Negroni League, we will post you a Negroni, courtesy of Premium Brands. Cheers, lads. Now, by all means, accept the Negroni. I will certainly be accepting mine. Or you'd post it to someone else. Post it to a mortal enemy, because they deserve it. And if you win the whole thing, you get a Negroni kit. Which is exactly what it says on the tin. You can make Negronis all year. Disgusting Negronis all year.
A bottle of all the ingredients. And
yeah, so that's...
And all the paraphernalia. Everything you need to make yourself a disgusting Negroni.
Yes, you get a bottle of gin, a bottle of Campari, and a bottle of Cocky, which
sweet
is
red vermouth.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. So there you go. Join our Negroni League. Search for Egg Chasers on Matchpoint. Come find us, and yeah, there we go. We'll see you there. And the drink is yours, or as JB says, for someone you absolutely hate. Matchpoint app. Download it. Search for the Egg Chasers League. Add yourself. Do it now. Do it now.
Indeed.
Right. Enjoy the Six Nations. We'll see you at the end of the weekend once it's all done. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Yep.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.